All right. Before this, somebody else tells you about it, I'm going to explain what's happening the last few days. It came to a head last night. I've been unsteady, and you know, for probably a couple of weeks at least. And last night, or yesterday afternoon, I can't remember when. Was it evening? It was not night yet.
Last night. You don't have to tell everybody.
Huh?
I said, you don't have to tell everybody about that. But anyway, it was last night.
Okay, well, okay. I fell to the, when I was in, I was talking to Pete, which was showing something in their bathroom when I was leaving, and I fell against the wall towards the office, and then I fell again the other way. And it was like I lost all sense of
balance.
And I'm glad Pete was there. I mean, except when I get in something and Pete starts telling me what to do, then I get a little belligerent.
You're great at that.
No, really, I said, I'm begging you, Ollie, go to bed. That's not telling him what to do. That's like, get to bed.
Well, anyway, I woke up this morning.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Pardon?
Sorry, I wouldn't exactly agree with
that he gets belligerent.
Telling you what to do, but anyway.
I got a little belligerent. Not very much. Anyhow. What was that? Are you going to take off? Anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted, I think what's happening is some of the medicine I'm taking, I think I'm taking too much or something isn't. That's what hit me this morning, because I'm fine today, or so far.
Yeah,
and
sounds right.
Well, either whether I'm fine today or not isn't the issue, but it is the issue. I need to talk to every doctor that I'm dealing with and that has written prescriptions and just see if there are. Can you probably just check out with CVS too? Anyway, because I'm getting some meds from the government, some meds from CVS. So.
Yeah,
you know, that's a good idea, because the pharmacist will tell you the truth.
Yeah, right. And I really like the pharmacist up there, CVS guys, my gal. So anyway, that's what I hope to do. And somebody probably needs to go with me, because I probably would.
In case you
call
over, we can call the fire truck.
No, we don't want to call any ambulances. Because I'd probably this time get, she would shoot me this time if I didn't do it. But anyway, I'm sure people were going to hear about it. I wanted to hear about it. You could hear about it from me. And
did you lose consciousness?
No. I probably lost reality, but.
Right.
I didn't have any real loss of consciousness.
Were you dizzy and lost your balance?
Yeah.
Was that the deal? Dizzy and just fell?
I don't know. I don't remember being dizzy, but I just remember being unsteady. Maybe that's dizzy.
Yeah.
And I fell. But I started to fall. I fell against the wall first.
Yeah.
And then I tried to stand up, and I fell against the self that has all the stuff in it.
That does sound like a medical weirdness.
And that was the most extreme that's happened. So anyway, I just want to let you know, and I need help. I'm trying to figure out how to listen to Pete without yelling at him. But.
So anyway. Fall, just kind of go on down. Don't fall and break something. That's.
Easy for you, just don't resist it again.
Let's go to Bible study.
Medical advice is increasing in quality.
I can't sit wrong with this one, I can't.
Okay.
That's better. We're going to look at some basics today. Probably the most common, the scripture that I have used more than any place else in terms of my own understanding was in Galatians. So let's go there, Galatians 2:20. I think maybe part of the problem is I need to get a new Bible. Galatians chapter 2. This chapter is about Peter. Paul rebukes Peter, and so let's go see what happens. We have to start in verse so. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then after 14 years, after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and Mark, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto that gospel, and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now what he's talking about, everybody remember what this is about? Peter was teaching about the being avoiding certain foods back then. So now this becomes the first major clash between the disciples. And so Paul now, you know, he had studied and waited a long time before he ever started preaching to others. So anyway, verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. That's the other one. It was circumcision and the eating of different foods. And that because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, to whom we give the place by subjection, no, not for an honor, but that the truth, not for our honor, not for an hour. I got to get my Bible out. So, how many? We have any idea where it is? The new one?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Glasses will be here too soon.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I still haven't gotten my glasses.
Oh, I did a call. Sorry.
Hmm.
I'll call them.
Okay. So that you call the glass place or the eye doctor?
She said 3 weeks. Call out there 3 weeks. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
It's been 3 weeks, right?
All right. In verse 6, but of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it matters not, no matter to me, or it matters, maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be something, somewhat, I got you.
I guess.
Gary, would you read? I'm not seeing clearly enough. You have to sort of face this way and talk a little louder.
Okay. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
No, he's just saying the gospel. The gospel was spread by to the Gentiles by Peter. Okay.
For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. That's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So God was fully operational in both, and he recognized that. He didn't dispute it.
But he rebuked him.
Yeah, yeah. Appropriately.
All right.
And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and that they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do.
All right, now this is a big deal, and from then on, that sort of sets the stage. When Paul finally, I tried to figure it out once. It was 16 years after he had gone to the desert, and gone back to Antioch, and was just a member of the Antioch church. He wasn't anything until this 14 years. So now.
Are you talking about when he was blinded?
Yeah.
14 years from that point.
No, the blindness was when he was going up to kill people.
Right.
So after he saw the vision, then he went out in the desert for 3 years. And then after that, he went to Antioch.
Okay.
And that became the home church for him. But he wasn't an official or anything.
So he separated himself from everybody pretty much to let the gospel be worked out in him. Is that?
Well, he didn't separate himself. He went to the church that was formed for the Gentiles in Antioch. Now, at this time, this was after 70 AD, or when 70 AD was approaching, God warned them, and they all the believers and that lived in Jerusalem escaped before the destruction of the temple, and they went to Antioch. And so this huge church was built, and he was there already.
Okay.
So he didn't, I mean, this was effectuating, or whatever that word is, by the upcoming, you know, it's probably 10 or 12 years from now, or from this time, is when the Romans destroyed the temple. And so God gave the vision of something to Paul, so that he would join. He had to join with a group of already existing believers. That's important. And so he did it by going to Antioch. And that's where he is now. Okay.
Okay. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed.
No, this is mind-bending. Paul, every Christian Jew hated, because he killed a number of Christians and persecuted many others. That was his job. He was the key witness against them. when they went before the Sanhedrin. And so this is, but when he went before the Sanhedrin, the big event for him then was he was still running against everybody, I mean the first church, but that's when he was the accuser for Stephen before the Sanhedrin, and they found Stephen guilty, and because of the brilliance of Paul. So then what happens, they stoned him, and everybody, and the fact that they laid his clothing at Paul's feet is the single signal that he was acting as a case of the attorney, as a prosecuting attorney. That was his reward. Got it? But if you have any questions about this or any thoughts right now, let's interrupt, because it's critical. This whole next few verses are. Any thoughts so far?
Just a setup. This is just a setup.
Look, just verse 11. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed.
Right, he was to be blamed because he was teaching two things still that he said Christians had to do for. They had to be circumcised, and there were certain meats and food.
Peter was preaching that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, and that's why Peter was, he was hugely important in the church. He never was the. Well, I don't want to go into all that, but for Paul to stand up to what he was doing and just slay him in the spirit is what happens. It was about to happen now.
Yeah. Okay, one more question. Circumcision, and what was the other one Peter was teaching?
Certain foods you couldn't eat.
Do you know what circumcision represents, Glenn?
Yeah.
What?
Well, this.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what did he say?
No, I asked him if he knew what circumcision was. Yeah, he goes, yeah, this. It's the law.
Okay.
The following.
Well, the whole point of it it wasn't against the law. It was a revelation that the mystery of Christ had nothing to do with circumcision.
Well, I didn't realize it was really the law like that. Okay.
And that was for
something.
Like.
You have to do something to earn your salvation.
Yeah. That was about in the early 50s, so 50 A.D., so like 53 or 4 like that, when this confrontation took place. All right. We're ready now.
Verse 12.
I kept it. I didn't say anything. We didn't say anything until you were in the bathroom.
Okay, verse 12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles.
Well, no, stay with 11 first. Read 11 again.
Okay, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision.
Okay, now remember James. There were two Jameses. The James he's talking about here was James was Christ's half brother, who automatically he became the bishop of Jerusalem, and it was shortly after this. But this is a huge deal for Paul to stand up to a brother, a physical brother of Christ, and the one who was hugely important, and then to stand up to Peter at the same time. I mean, it saved the church.
Yeah, this is a fulcrum. This is the fulcrum. This is what
I. Right, but it really, you got to hear this. It wasn't until this fulcrum, like you said, was manifest that they turned the world upside down. Because they were in one mind. Right?
Yeah. Is this the James who wrote the book of James?
They don't know, but probably, because he mentions Christ. Yeah, it's more than likely
is because he was, you know, he was so big on the whole works thing, which doesn't make it wrong, but I mean, there was that constant deal between works and liberty, or, you know.
Well, he defines what true works really is.
Yeah.
And it's not what your mind tells you to do.
No. But I mean, it's still interesting that, you know, even, I mean, you can be wrong in the way that they're talking about here in Galatians, and still right in the book of James, you know, over these kind of issues.
Except that was much, much later, the book of James.
Yeah, but I mean, it's part of the fun thing of being able to discuss this amongst believers,
right,
you know, is that you can do these kind of things. There's nobody who has to say, you know, this is the gospel, we're going to carve it to stone and stuck with it forever.
No, it had to be proven by life. And a lot of the disciples didn't approve it by their life. They approved it by they got positions of power. Anyway, at this point, this is Satan trying to destroy it from internally.
Yeah, Paul just spent 10 verses telling us about these people that snuck in with, you know, became under James, in the hierarchy, let's say, and were having an influence, which is a bad influence.
All right.
14. But when I saw...
No, read 13 again.
And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest under the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?
Now, you have everybody seeing what's happening here.
Yeah, that's a big sentence. That's a big sentence. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Now this again is another huge thing.
So that is circumcision.
Well, it's circumcision, but it's also the massive change that happened in John the Baptist. Now all these things are coming together so that finally there's a pure gospel being. It's the gospel of the cross. I mean, but when they'd been baptizing for 400 years when John started, and he was recognized, he was the son of a major priest, he had every credential in the world.
John the Baptist.
Huh?
You're talking about John the Baptist.
Yeah, he was the first prophet in 400 years. You could take every celebrity and every intellectual and put them all together, and that's what he represented in one person. So, John the Baptist turned what repentance meant upside down. Before, they taught that repentance was, well, I'm sorry. But here, he says, you've got to hear this. The Jews believed that they were eligible for heaven by their birthright. And they still do. This is a common thing by the Jews. But John did this incredible thing. They've been, again, remember, for 400 years they've been baptized. And they just baptized it by dunking him.
It was in the name of...
Well, it was first, remember, he had to do three things. That's why some of the gospel says it's to the... you had to be baptized as into the Father and God. That was the first. What had been going on for 400 years. Now John comes along and reckons, he doesn't even know who the Messiah is yet, but it's his cousin. And here he starts the he starts. They baptize. Remember when they baptized the days of all.
Yeah.
Like the period between Rosh Hashanah and what?
Yom Kippur.
And that's when the baptisms were done every year at that time. And say, and now again, thousands went out because, first of all, if they were approaching the 70th year in the prophecy of, often the prophecies of,
Daniel.
And Daniel predicted down to the actual hour that Christ would be revealed in 700. That was in how many years?
490
years before Christ, Peter predicted with specific clarity.
Daniel.
And it's down, and I that's what my chart that everybody makes fun of is so precise. I mean, it's incredible, and it's not my chart. I just put what Daniel said saw that in terms of. Now it was also a jubilee year when they came, and so there were thousands of people that came to get their lands back. So all this is happening in this time period, right? And again, if you don't understand it, this is we're talking about the basis of Christianity, not the basis of what you think. Amen. All right.
Let's do 16 again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Okay, now, I remember many years ago that J.W. preached on this. The whole idea is, I am crucified with Christ. That means you're dead. But nevertheless, I or something is living. I am crucified. Crucified means dead. I am crucified with Christ. By Christ's death, I was crucified with him. That's what the whole idea of Christianity is. And if you don't see then, well, let's go on. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So it's no longer him. He's dead. He just said it. Uh, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and saved him and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now here's the kicker, and this is the specific preaching of J.W. in this issue that just blew me away back then. Because here's what with his a lot of the people in his organization, when they read Galatians 2:20, and the same is true for this. This became was the beginning of all of the work that I mean the of who was the evangelist that was talking when I was Norman Grubb spent his lifetime on this one subject. I am crucified with Christ, yet I am not alive, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What they had done is it's like you've taken a paragraph or a sentence and put it in another book. Because here it is. This is what it was. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Something wrong, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not, and here's what happened, people, because there's too many I's there. And so you can't change I's. I am dead.
Huh? I have a comment about that I think is critical. If that first I, I'm crucified with Christ, were a small I instead of a capital I, it kind of captures the difference. Because the small I is me and everything about me, my soul, my thoughts, my mind, my everything, my growing up, my teachings. That's the little I. That's the one that died. And if I don't recognize the fullness of that death, I can't go to the second I, which is Christ, a whole different being.
No, it's your death.
Pardon me?
It's your death.
That's the small I.
And then what's replaced it is you are gone.
The big I replaces that.
Well, yeah.
All right. That's just my California thoughts.
Let's read 20 again. I am crucified with Christ. Oh, but remember, if one died for all, then they are all dead. The human Jesus Christ was the last Adam. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, it's hard to say because I live by the faith of the Son of God. Because you're part of the English language puts that last I in you, as you are the one. You understand?
Does it make a difference if it says, my Bible, maybe there's a little bit of difference. I now live in the flesh. I live by faith. Instead of the Son of God, it says I live by faith in the Son of God.
That's why your Bible, it should be burned.
I know. So what's the difference between the of and the in?
It's huge.
It is night and day.
It is, huh?
Sure. One
is you just doing your own thing and continue your own ideas and think up stuff and live by cause and effect.
Okay.
And the other is living by faith alone.
Okay.
And if you can't live by faith alone, That's what puts you on the cross. It pushes you to that end.
I'm glad I asked that.
Yeah, one has you in it. The other, you are not in it. It's not only Christ. That's all.
But you have to recognize that you died and you were buried in baptism. That's the next part of this whole thing.
And in line with what you were talking about, the JW and how the last Adam, that first I is Adam. We don't consider ourselves Adam, but we should.
That's you're right. I mean, it's exactly right.
Yeah, we are of his. The whole Adamic nature is in us. And if we don't see that that's what died, we don't see the meaning of this.
Right, because you still we all in one bite of the apple.
Yeah.
Every sperm cell after that was the wrong eye.
The fallen. Yeah,
that's right. And I remember JW saying that thou shalt surely die. I don't know if it's the same.
It's part of the context.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but you can't anyway. There's no way. And what is the eye in each of us?
Yeah.
The eye is our mind. You understand? But the mind is the carnal mind, the spiritual mind. You don't get the spiritual mind. You get the pipeline between God through the Holy Spirit and you. So you do nothing that's from you. You originate nothing. Now, again, as I've said a million times, if you don't agree with this, or if you can't see it, don't think up something else. The only thing you can do is repent, because you're trying to mix the world with the gospel. It can't be done. Well, that's it. We're going to continue this if I'm alive tomorrow. And in my heart, I really wish I would be taken today. But I'm not going to do it by voluntary. So. All right.
You're not done yet.
Huh?
You're not done yet.
I hope I'm done.
You know, I was just thinking about this repentance thing. And it's like we stand looking this way at the world in all of its glories. And behind us is the kingdom of heaven, which is
you remember I told you that I was when we were at the cross when they were doing that show, that production. I had written a little paper about Adolf Hitler being the Messiah of the New Age. That's what he was doing, and teaching, because it was all the same stuff that, you know, all of the religious people in California were doing, you know, making have. Anyway, the cross. I mean, the staff of Longines, which is allegedly the staff that the emperor stuck in the side of Christ. There's all kinds of legends about it, but here we are, and I'm in a German. What's the bad group?
The SS.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was dressed in a uniform, and wherever we went, we were filming. I mean, these old men would cry when they saw me, because I looked like an Aryan, and. But then this thing happened to me. We went to the great museum there in Vienna. Now remember, Vienna is Austria is the first place that Hitler went, and they were mostly Jewish. I mean, or German anyway. But all of Poland had to switch, because the first thing he did. He went in and had his crew and they had, they were advanced men. They were before all the army hit them. And it was to get that cross because he believed in the power of the cross. I mean, the staff. It's a lance.
Yeah.
And
he never got it, though, did he?
I think, well, that's another story. But the thing that happened was what I want to talk about. I'm standing there, they're filming, and all of a sudden I just left. And I saw, I had a vision. I don't have many visions. But what you just said reminded me of it. I saw just millions, billions of people going towards this mountain. And then a handful of people had turned from a mountain and were going toward the cross. And the power of that vision just cemented in me everything that I teach. Because all of these people following God, they thought, they're going up to the mountain. But a handful turned their back on it. And we're living by faith alone. No, I don't have words to describe the power of that vision. I haven't had many visions, but this was a major one. The other major one is when I was converted, when I saw the end of the world. But anyhow.
Wait a minute. What you said changed what I was going to say. I never finished what I was going to say. My original thinking was you stand looking at the world and all that stuff, but then you repent to God, to the kingdom of heaven, which is, you know, unbelievable and all that. But what you just said changed a little bit. That what you repent and turn to is the cross, where you die.
But that's the point. You've seen the vanity of your life,
yeah,
and you've accepted your death.
Yeah.
But you know that you're already dead because you're going the wrong way according to the world's standards.
But you don't do that till you know that. I mean, you're a fool.
Right, because you.
Because it's fake.
That's why you can't repent of anything that you still like in the world. You still. I don't care what it is you give importance to. That's what, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. And then, James. It says it a little differently. I'm going to leave that as the come on for tomorrow. The difference between the two ways of looking at it. Okay? All right. I got an appointment. All right, take a big time.